Well, good evening or good morning. It's good to be with you. If you have your Bibles, look with me to Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. I hope it's been a good morning for you so far, and that it's such a pleasure to be able to assemble with one another here and have a great rejoice in our Lord as we just sang. So good to be with you this morning, and it's good to be able to study God's Word for just a little while. In Romans, the first chapter, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 5, he says, "Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." I want to talk for just a little while about the idea of the obedience to faith. Paul wrote this with this idea of the purpose of the gospel, the idea that it would be that which would bring hope to the world. The idea of having faith in God and being able to serve Him. And so he says, through Him we have received grace and apostleship. And the purpose of his apostleship was for the faith, obedience to the faith among all nations. And as a matter of fact, if you continue, he closes the letter this way. Look over in the last chapter. He makes this statement. He says in verse, well, read a couple of verses with me. The 16th chapter, look at verse 25. "For to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began," verse 26, "but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for the obedience to the faith." According to the commandment of the everlasting God. Again, that idea of the obedience to the faith. And that is how Paul chooses to open and close, sort of as bookends, to this wonderful letter to the Romans. All people face problems and trials and difficulties, and whether they be individuals or families or nations, problems are common to everyone. And they're also common to local congregations of God's people. It includes the church. Many Christians go through many difficulties, but they're doing it as they're striving to serve the Lord. The church exists to bring people to the Lord, but when we have this faith that is contrary to the world, we're going to face difficulties and trials. But back in the first chapter, we read that again. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. That idea of an obedience that would lead us to service to God, to have such a faith that we would obey the Lord. Now, sometimes, unfortunately, that doesn't happen, even among the churches of the Lord. We read over in Revelation 2nd chapter where Ephesus, of all things, could be described as having lost their first love. Imagine receiving a letter from the Lord Jesus and said, "You've done a lot of good things, but I have this against you. You've left your first love. You've missed the very point of why we do everything. And it's dedication and devotion to the Lord himself." And then, well, I guess you could talk about Laodicea. Laodicea had become lukewarm. They weren't hot or cold. And God was to the point where he could just spew them out, it says. So the churches face problems. And all people do. And so as he writes this letter to him, he says, "I'm writing for you for this purpose of the obedience of faith." That is, how allowing your faith to follow into the things that God would have you to be and do. And here in this letter, that's exactly what he does. As you read down through the first chapter, the famous verses for us in verse 16 and 17 is, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation. To the Jew first and also the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And he's talking about this idea of, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." But he goes on to say in verse 18, in contrast to that, the contrast of that is, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth and unrighteousness." And between those, he wants to write a letter, and he does. Throughout the rest of the book of what we call Romans, I guess from here down to about verse chapter 3, about the latter part of chapter 3. He talks about the problems of the faith, the gospel faith, and how it's to be developed and where it comes from and what we're devoted to and dedicated to. And then when you look in chapters 4 and 5, it continues with the idea that we must be people that live by that faith. But then again, he's got to answer the question when you get to the 6th chapter, are we saved by faith only, he says, or shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? If we're saved by the grace of God, why not just live in sin? And so he's got to answer that in chapters 6, 7, and 8. And then he's got a question about the Jewish people. The Jewish people for 1,500 years have been the people of God. And now what happens to them if they don't accept the gospel of Christ and serve the Lord? So he has to answer that in chapters 9, 10, and 11. And he's pretty plain about it. And then in the 12th chapter, he talks again directly to us about living our life as an offering unto the Lord. 12th chapter, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. In other words, when he gets to the 12th chapter, he wants us to be people who live our life as we are offering it to the Lord. May it please the Lord. May it be something that helps the cause of our Lord. And that ought to be a strong and powerful motive for us in the way we conduct ourselves. And then when we get into the 13th chapter, he's telling us how that we should be people who respect the government and obey the government. And then in the 14th chapter, it talks about doubts and questions of doubts that we might have. And then when you get into the 15th chapter, he starts talking about the closing up of the book. And so the book of Romans is one that was written for, that he already considered them to be a faithful congregation, but there were issues and questions they were having, and it was going to affect the way they walk and live their life. And so when we look back into the first chapter, he continues with thoughts that you and I need to be appreciative of. The whole book does this for the people of Rome. But back in the first chapter, look at verse 11 with me. He makes this statement, verse 11 and first part of verse 12. He says, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Paul's concerned them to be established, further established. The idea that we need to recognize that we need the gift of God, which is the revelation and the word of God. Be able to apply it to our hearts and minds and live as though we're living the very will and God, will of God on a daily basis. The idea that he would have us to be and do, that we would understand the times that exist around us, the difficulties, and be able to accomplish what he would have us to be if we would just take his word and apply it to our life. Look with me over in James, the 4th chapter. In James, the 4th chapter, when we have pressing upon them there some attitudes toward looking at time and how short time is. He says in verse 13, James, the 4th chapter, verse 13, come now you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. We have little time on this earth, and we need to recognize that time is short, time is fleeting. We need to focus every day on the thought that we serve the Lord, that we have a gift here in the Word of God, the gospel of Christ. We are to make it a part of our life and indeed make our life part of that gospel. Dedicate ourselves to understand it, because we really don't have a hope of or the promise of living another day or another week or another month. Time is short for us. And he tells them that. He said, today or tomorrow, these people are saying, we're going to go here and we're going to do this and accomplish that. He says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. The attitude in the Bible, the attitude of the New Testament has always been today is the day we need to address these things, whatever the question may be. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, is what he's talking about there. 2 Corinthians 6, and he reads beginning in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6, he says, "We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." That is, the grace of God's offered to us. May even have it in our vest pocket. We can understand the gospel, but we have to appropriate that grace to us. He says, "Do not receive the grace of God in vain, for," verse 2, says, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." Rest of the verse says, "But now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Today, if our heart's not thinking right with the Lord, we need to change our thinking. We need to stop and think about what the problem is, what the issue, and address it and not wait till later on. There may not be a later on for us. We need to recognize that our life, we live in an eternal sense, but on this earth, we're not here for very long. Over in Hebrews, the ninth chapter, there's one statement made over there in verse 27 that most of us can easily quote. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." We are only here for a little while. The Lord's return is nearer today than it was yesterday. And our death and departure from this world is nearer today than it was yesterday. And we need to always keep before us, every day brings us closer to our Lord and our judge. The night is far spent. So, let us have this attitude that when we recognize what Paul's trying to give unto the church, this idea of how we conduct ourselves and how we walk, let us think about what would the Lord have me to do? When you come back to Galatians, the 5th chapter, look with me at another example of that. Galatians 5, read down at verse 19. Galatians 5 and verse 19. He makes this statement. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." And of course, the point that Paul is making is it's quite obvious as to how people conduct themselves. In verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies." Mine. He continues with it, doesn't he? Verse 21. "Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And again, he's talking to Galatian brethren there. He is telling them, you have to be aware of what is happening. We need to be people who cast off the works of darkness and not be identified by it. We need to be concerned, as Paul is preaching the gospel of Christ in the book of Romans, he is saying the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is that which we not only need to know, but we need to apply it to our very lives, to the point where, well, let me show you another. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, he talks about an armor that we are to wear. An armor not of metal, but an armor of the will of God. In verse 10, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The armor, something by which we could withstand the devil. Just like in Matthew 4, when the devil came to Jesus and tempted him, and every time, Jesus answered with the word of God. He said the reason for this in verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, verse 13, therefore what? Considering that we're not wrestling just against flesh and blood, or some political party, or some economic party, we're wrestling against the unseen evil powers of this age. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, we can oppose the evil forces of our day. We can stand opposed to this. In verse 14, he continues, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He is giving us an armor. All of it seems to be, doesn't it, to be the word of God in different ways. The gospel and the word of God and faith and all of the things that would allow us to oppose the wicked one. And then he goes on to say, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, being prayerful people. We ought to walk in such a way that we can be in fellowship constantly with the Lord. We can walk in the light as He is in the light. We have that opportunity because we have revealed to us the truth of God's Word. And being able to do that, we've got to, first of all, be people who withstand the world by accepting the gospel of Christ. Back in Acts, the second chapter, we have Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and begins to proclaim the things of Christ. And he rehearses Old Testament prophecies, and he puts forth the idea that there is coming a time when those who would be saved would be those who call on the name of the Lord. And in the context, we can deal with that later, but right now he wants them to understand there was coming, and the prophets talked about it. And David said in verse 25, he said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made me to know the ways of life, and you will make me full of joy in your presence. And from that passage, which would be difficult to see, he argued from that the resurrection of somebody, and he applied it to Jesus. In verse 29, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Verse 30, therefore being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ, the anointed one, to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. And then he goes on to say, Peter says, we were all witnesses of this Jesus who was crucified and has now been raised from the dead. He is that one that David was talking about. He goes on further to quote David in verse 34 and 5. His, the Lord said to my Lord, set at my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And he concludes in verse 36 by saying, therefore let all the house of Israel know what? That God hath made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. What you attempted to stop, God overcame by the resurrection of the Son of God. And when they hear that, in verse 37, when they hear that, they were cut to the heart and said, Peter and to the rest of the apostles, man, brother, what shall we do? And Peter's answer was, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. They were struck at the very idea that they took part in and was culpable in the crucifixion of the Son of God. And then he makes this statement. He says the promise He says, he tells them what to do, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. He says, verse 39, for the promise is to you, to the Jewish people, and to your children, Jewish people all over the world, and to all who are far off. Who's that? That's the world. That's the Gentiles. As many as the Lord our God shall call. And then, as you see, as we were mentioned in class in verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added unto them. We must put on the Lord and be a part of the Lord and take up on his character. And we must make no provision for the flesh, as we were studying class, 1 John 2 and verse 15, that we can't love the world or the things of the world, and if we do, the love of the Father is not in us. He demands of us that we recognize that there is a difference between this world and its thoughts and the Word of God and its thoughts and its will, and we must abide by it and it only. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. We read down where he makes this statement in verse 13. He says, there is no temptation that has taken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. We have to be concerned as to exactly where our life stands today, as Paul was teaching the Roman letter, writing the Roman letter, rather. The question is, are we sleeping? Are we dull of hearing? Are we not paying attention to the things he told them and make the application to us? It may be time for us to wake up, to recognize the dangers, spiritual dangers that surround us, in which we work and serve every day and go about our business, recognizing we represent the Lord. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of the Lord. That is, we carry the armor of the Lord with us. We should have the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, shield of faith. We ought to be that kind of people. That's why Paul writes this letter to the Romans. And he wrote it for that very purpose, as we were saying in verse 5 of the first chapter. Through him we receive grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. We're not Jewish people here, obviously so, maybe it might not be, but most are not. But this is, he said, I wrote this, that we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. We need to be people who recognize that Paul wrote letters and that they were powerful. We could study them for thousands of years, but they were for everyone. And it was through these that God was calling people to himself, through the preaching and the teaching of the gospel, through the writings of the apostles. And that's why it says in Acts, the second chapter, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to be. You have not identified yourself with God through the gospel of Christ. That's the very thing and the connection that we have with God. When we see that Jesus sends his apostles into the world, he says, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. It's that serious. That's the division. That's the dividing line. The gospel of Christ that affects us and can leads us to be able to stand with him, make decisions every day in our life to stand for him and stand for the truth, for which one day we will stand before the Lord and hopefully hear, and I believe we will, we stand with the truth. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That would be a glorious thing to hear from our Lord. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come as we stand and sing?